So we're kind of in the midst of just kind of chatting about the S word and
what?
The L word. Shh, we're at church. You can't say the S word. Steve Zeisler is not the S word. Oh, he said it's okay? All right. Steve Zeisler said I could say the word sex. All right, just kidding. So we're talking about sex. We're talking about love. We're talking about dating. We're talking about all these things. And we kind of kicked that off a little bit with an awkward video last week. And this week we're going to kind of move forward from there, do something a little different. So, ooh, sex for you. We're going to pray, and then we're going to get going. So let's pray. That's my reset button, is to pray. Resets you. Dear God, thank you for this morning, and thank you just for a chance to come and sing worship songs to you, God. And God, it was just such a sweet experience for me, and I think it was for you also, God. And thanks for a chance to come and hang out with each other and catch up from a week and a week going our own ways and to come back as part of the family of God and just kind of catch up and encourage each other and hear from you, God, through your word. Thanks for being here, hanging out with us, and we pray that you would speak your words this morning to us and that we would leave here a little bit changed and a little bit more like you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're still kind of going along in this vein, but there was something that, going back and looking at it, I think that we need to kind of get out of the way. We kind of need to talk about first. That's what we're going to do today. And I hope you guys are all awake today, because today is just one of those passages. You'll know it when, well, you might know. You'll probably know it when I start to read it. It's one of those passages just like you read it and you're like, I have no idea what they just said there. I have no clue. And so you're going to need to have all your mental energy focused, you know. And but it kind of has something something to do with this. This is a movie that I really like. I don't actually remember it that well, but I like the concept of it, and I remember liking it, but I don't remember it. So I'm not going to recommend it to you because it could be bad. I don't know. Like that time when we were at Hume Lake. Remember that? And we were coming back, and we watched She's All That. And I was like, yeah, this movie's awesome. And then we watched it, and I was like, oh, this movie's bad. We had to turn it off. It might be like that. But we're not watching a movie. We're going to watch something, though. This movie's called Weekend at Bernie's. You got to push function F8. Twice. You should probably pause it. Yeah. Come on. All right, will you pause it? Put it back to the beginning. It's on up here. Hold on. Yeah, turn it this way so I can reach. All right. Oh, careful.
The place to die for.
You have to kill them, Vito.
A little rusty, but it'll come back to them. But what they don't realize is while they're checking in,
forget the accident, two guys. Carol Lomax.
Bernie Lomax will be checking out.
Oh, my
God, what kind of a host invites you to his house for the weekend and dies on you? Lomax told whoever he's talking to not to kill us if he's around, right?
Yeah, but Lomax is dead. He's not around anybody anymore.
I know that. You know that.
Nobody else knows that.
That's Weekend at Bernie's. We'll get there. If you didn't catch the concept, these two guys, can you hit no show? These two guys were going, they caught some error, and they caught their boss in something. And he was going to have him killed, so he invited him to his beach house. But he told the hitman, don't kill him while I'm around. So they go to the beach house. They don't know that they got a contract out on him. And Bernie's dead. And so in order to stay alive, they carry Bernie around. Excuse me. They carry Bernie around like he's alive. And so they take him to parties and they take him around on the beach. You see the one scene? I don't know if you can tell. But they tied his feet to their feet, and so like one foot was tied here and one foot was tied there, and they put his arms around him, and they were walking around like this, right? And Bernie was walking with them, and the one where he pulled the string and made him wave, and that's kind of what we're talking about today.
What?
Turn to Romans 7. Turn to Romans 7. Weekend at Bernie's. Great concept. Seven. I know. It is too bad Bernie's not here. That would have been awesome. Bernie should have been here. Romans 7. We're going to start off in verse 14. All right. Ready? You got to put your thinking caps on here. And you got to focus because this is you're going to be like, what did he just say? Starting in verse 14. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. Crystal clear.
I get it,
but there's too many dudes.
I already got it.
It's like, this passage always reminds me of, the Abbott Costello Who's On First. You know what I'm talking about? I don't know why. It's just like this comical passage. So that's the first part of what we're going into. Let me kind of break it down. Let me break it down for you. Because this Weekend at Bernie's is what we're talking about. Let's see if you can pick it up along the way. So it says, we know that the law is spiritual. Here's the thing. In the Old Testament, they had the Torah, the law, the book of the law. And they had to follow all these rules and these regulations. And it was this outward physical thing. And Paul's saying, you know what? I tried that. You know, in other passages, he's like, I was the best. I did everything right. I did it all good. But I realized something. That the law is not about the physical. The law is spiritual. And he says, but I am unspiritual. So here's the predicament that we're all in, that Paul found himself in. There's this spiritual law that God wants us to obey, to follow, to track with. But we're not spiritual. We're carnal. We're fleshly. We're us. I don't have to explain that too much. I think, you know, like, we're not great. And he says this. He says, I'm unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. So he's got this law of the Old Testament law. You got the law of the spiritual law. And you have this law of sin working. And it's this constant struggle. Which one am I going to follow? Which one am I going to follow? He says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I don't do. But what I hate, I do. And I don't know if you've been there. But I have. I'll do something stupid, even though I know that it was wrong. I know some of you guys know this because I talk to you guys sometimes, and somebody will be like, you know, somebody asked me, is it okay if I do this, or is it wrong that I did this? And I'll say, well, what do you think? And then, you know, whoever I'm talking to is like, well, it's probably not the best thing. But that's it, right? That's where you're making that connection. It's like, well, I know what I should do, but I don't do it. Even though I know what I should do, I don't do it. Instead, I end up doing something different. Can you hit no-show? You lost the remote? It's on a wire. Okay, never mind. It's cool. And in verse 16, he says, and if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. So this is basically what he's saying. He's saying, I know what I should do, but I don't do it. I do something else anyways. But if I do that other thing, knowing what I should do, I'm agreeing. I'm saying, well, I should do this. That means this is the good thing. Even though I'm doing this, this is the good thing. Does that make sense? No. Come here. And come here. You. Come here.
Midnight.
Which one of you wants to be good, and which one of you wants to be evil?
Well. I was gonna say that anyway.
Alright. We got bad and we got good. So come over here a little bit. Stay there. You're bad.
Wait,
we're just making it real easy, right? Good. It is racist, but you know, that's what we do here. So we got good here and we got evil here, right? So here's what he's saying. He's saying, I should be like, what's up, dog? How's it going? What? Yeah. Cool. You know, that's how we should be. But he's like, well, you know, I like good over here. I like, you're cool. But you know what? You know who's cooler than you? B. What up? Home slice, skillet, woo!
Sorry, I'm not Mexican, man.
And so you're kicking it with evil, right? You're kicking it with what you know. Even though you know, like, G Lu is probably the hottest thing out there.
G Lu.
Even though you know that, you're like, no, I'm going to hang with B Dog. B Dog? That's lame. I'll come up with something better. So he's saying, but just knowing that G Lu is the hottest thing out there, just knowing that, even though I'm over here, just knowing that, it's saying that he's the better option, that he's good, right? Even though I didn't do it, for some other reason I did this. Does that make any sense? No, that doesn't make any sense. I need two more people. No, I'm just kidding. Thanks. So to get real practical, this Here's how this can play out. Here's how this can play out, especially with guys, but this is true of girls too. You see this? Well, you don't see this. If you're a guy, you might hear this sometimes. You should be scared. You should be. Ladies, plug your ears. Just kidding. Here it is. I know it's wrong. Are you ready? I know that it's wrong to look at pornography on the internet. Right? All right. Not too bad. I know it's wrong. But, well, but if I do it anyways, even though I don't really want to, I want to do what's good. You know, I want to do what God wants me to do. But, you know, sometimes it just happens, right? You do it anyways, even though you know that. What he's saying is, even though you do this, the mere fact that you're looking at pornography on the internet is saying that you know that not looking at it is the good thing. You know it. Alright? So that's what he's saying. Now here's what he says about this though. He says in verse 17, he says, "As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me." So we're kind of stuck, right? We're trying to live by the spiritual law, but we're stuck because we're made of flesh. We're not completely spiritual. We have these fleshly desires and this stuff. So we're stuck. And what he's saying is, the spiritual part of me that wants to do the spiritual law, to do the right thing, to do the good thing, it's not that's who I am, and it's not me. That's doing this other thing. So let's keep going with it. Verse 18. "I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out." And I don't know if you've been there, but I've been in times where I've gone, and I know what I should be doing. I know it's the right thing. I know I should be reading my Bible, and I'll go weeks without doing it. Or I know I should not be looking at internet pornography, and I'll go, you know, and I'll do it. Or I know that I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing with my boyfriend or girlfriend. Not now. And never a boyfriend. That's just weird. Never. And not now. All right. I know it, but I do it anyways. And what he's saying is that on my own, in my flesh, I can't do the right thing. I can't do it. I'm not able to do it. Verse 19. "For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." How good does it make you feel? Maybe this is a bad question, but this makes me feel good. That the guy who wrote most of the New Testament, Paul, you know, who's writing this book of Romans, the guy who wrote this thing that has influenced millions upon millions of people, this spiritual giant, will write this down in a letter. "For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." The stuff that I know is good that I want to do, I don't do it. For some reason, whatever it is, I can't do it. I keep doing the things I don't want to do. And I don't know if you've been there, but that is the most frustrating thing in the world. If you're trying to follow God, you say, "God, I just want you to be number one in my life. God, I just want to follow you. God, I just want to love you. God, I just want to get to know you." And yet, you keep doing things that you know you shouldn't do. But for me, it's comforting to know that the spiritual giant, Paul, who wrote tons of books in the New Testament, he struggled with the same thing. Verse 20. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. And he's just repeating that from verse 17. Check it out, verse 21. So I find this law at work. You keep Weekend at Bernie's, don't forget about it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. And that's the thing, right? Being a Christian can be so hard sometimes, right? Because there's these things that we shouldn't do. All this, you know, and especially we're talking about sex and love and dating. And you think about all those things, and there's huge books full of lists of things you should and shouldn't do. You know, you can hold hands, but you can't have sex. You can go on a date in groups, but you can't go on a date one-on-one. Or you can't, you know, there's just rules upon rules upon rules. And oral sex, is it okay? Is it not okay? And just rules and rules and rules and rules and things you shouldn't do. And here's the thing you have to know, that when you try to do those things right, evil is right there with you. Right? That sin is right there with you. This is kind of becoming a bleaker and bleaker picture. I don't know if you've noticed that, but it's kind of becoming more and more depressing, or more and more, you know, difficult to be a Christian, because you're just like, well, what's the point, right? Stick with it. It's going to get worse. Verse 22. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? And he's saying there's this war going on inside of me that I want to do the right thing, but I don't do the right thing, and I try to, you know, do the good stuff, but I always find that right next to me here on my little shoulder is evil right here the whole time, and I can't get rid of it. And he says, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? And when I start to look at my own life and I start to see all the things that I've done and all the things I've thought and all the things I've said and all the people I've hurt, and I start to see this starts to make sense. I've never tried to be a bad person. I've never tried to do the wrong things. I always try to do the right things, and yet I keep finding myself doing the wrong things over and over. And it starts to make sense. This body that I'm in is a body of death. It just brings pain and it brings hurt, and I can't do the right things with it. And you know, and this is important because we're talking about this a body, you know, and that's body's a pretty key thing in love, sex, dating, you know what I'm talking about? All right. And so this picture just becomes pitch black. It's just bleak. Who will rescue me from this body of death? But then he answers it in verse 25. You know the answer to this, but he says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. He says, who will rescue me from this body of death? And he says, thanks to God, because through Christ, that's how I'm rescued. He says, Now I can live with doing the right things. Not all the time, but check it out in chapter 8, verse 1. This is huge. If you take a second real quick and just kind of, this is not the fun yay exercise, but take a minute and think about some of the things that you've done, or some of the things that you've said, some of the things that you've thought. Some of the places you've been, some of the people you've hung out with. Think about all those things. Keep them in your mind when I read this verse. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. And so all those things that you thought about, or all the things that you've done, and all the things that you've said, if you're in Christ Jesus, if you call yourself a Christian, if you're following God, if you're trying to, if you're a follower of God, he says, you know, all those things that you were thinking of, you're not condemned for them. He says, yeah, you're guilty of the sins, but you're not condemned. Anybody know the difference?
You're responsible for it, but you're not going to be sent to hell for it.
Yeah, kind of. Like, you're responsible, like, it was, you know, it was your wrong, you're responsible for it, but that penalty is not for you. And, you know, I think about this, and it says, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. And, you know, this is where Weekend at Bernie's comes in, right? So, you got these guys who are carrying around a dead man, right? That's us. If you're a Christian, you're carrying around a dead man, a lifeless body. He's saying, you know what? We're still made of flesh and bones. We're still going to sin. We're still going to do the things that we don't want to do. We're still going to end up hanging out over here when we know we should be hanging out over there. You got to carry Bernie around. Not Bernie, but Bernie. Dead man. And so for as long as you live, this is the thing. You're attaining to come this way, but the whole time you have to drag a dead man with you. Because you're dead in sin. But there's life in Christ. And so you can attain to hanging out with G. Lou over here, the hottest thing on the planet. Verse 3. For what the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Here's where this meets up with what we're talking about, with sex and dating and love even, is that here's why I felt like we needed to go here today, is because maybe more than anything else, your sexuality can be the most frustrating thing in the world. And it can be the heaviest part of Bernie, of the dead man that you're dragging around. Because, you know, it's such a pervasive thing in our culture. You know, you're getting bombarded with it. You know, pornography is so readily available on the internet, and it's so easy to, you guys have a lot of freedoms, and so you can, you know, meet with your boyfriend or girlfriend or just some guy or just some girl and get into things that you don't want to do, or, you know, you can make some mistakes, you can go too far. It's so easy, and probably the thing that I talk to you guys or to high schoolers in general about the most is their failures in their sexual life. And, you know, we're going to talk about some more of this stuff and hopefully give you guys some tools to help navigate this. But here's what you need to know is this. There's no condemnation. Even though you do what you don't want to do, if you're in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. So the things that you've done in the past, relationships you've had that have gone south to Mexico. Okay, some of you are still awake. Exactly. What? What? The places you've been, the things you've seen, the things you've done, there's no condemnation. And not only that, but by feeling guilty, guilty feelings happen, right? You do something bad, guilty feelings happen. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but kind of the more you do it, the less you start to feel guilty until you just don't feel guilty at all. But those guilty feelings are there, and they're a good thing, but not prolonged. You need to feel guilty, but when you start to prolong it, you know what you're doing? You're saying, man, Jesus dying on the cross was just not good enough. It wasn't good enough to cover my sin. Because what he's saying here is you're not condemned anymore. Christ, Jesus did his work on the cross. Jesus died on the cross for your sins so you would be forgiven for those sexual sins or those whatever sins. And yeah, you're guilty, like you're responsible for them, but you're not condemned. He paid the penalty. Jesus was condemned for you. You're not condemned. And so, here's what I want to say. If you've been someplace, or you've seen something, or you've done something, or that you feel guilty about, that you know you shouldn't have done, you knew this was the right thing to do, but you kind of went here anyways. Here's what you need to do, is you need to give it to God and say, God, I'm trying to do the right thing. I'm trying to hang out with Jilu, and Bernie just keeps weighing me down, and I keep coming back this way. God, I'm sorry, and I'm still striving to hang out with Jilu. Not literally, because hanging out with Dan is awesome, but does not, get you closer to God necessarily, although it might. But that's the thing. You need to take it to God, and then you just need to let it go. You can't let those things weigh you down. Now, I also need to make this clear. This is not to say that, oh, well, if I don't need to feel guilty, then I can just do whatever I want, with whoever I want, to whoever I want, whenever I want, however I want. Yeah. Couldn't think of any more. I was going to get on a roll there, and then I tapped out. That's not giving you free play just to do whatever you want. You need to be striving for this. And yeah, when you come back here, that happens, and you feel guilty for a little bit, and you say, God, I'm sorry, I'm still trying to get there, and you head back, and you strap Bernie on, and you put his arm around your shoulder, and you just kind of drag him down the beach towards God. It's not giving you free license, but it is saying, listen to this, it's not giving you free license to do whatever you want, but it is setting you free from feeling guilty about what you've done, or where you've been, or what you've said, or what you've seen. So as we keep this in mind, as we keep talking about relationships and dating and sex and those kinds of things, I know this is a sensitive topic, it's a hard thing to talk about, but I want to try to be as open and honest with you guys as I can, and I want you guys to be as open and honest with each other and with me as you can, and we're going to kind of try to work through some of this stuff. So with that, let's close in prayer, and then we'll be good to go. God, I want to thank you for this morning. Thank you for being here in the presence of all of us who have sinned, who are dragging Bernie around everywhere we go, God. But God, we're wanting to be closer to you. We're striving to be closer to you, God. And God, yeah, sometimes we turn around and go the wrong way and we do the wrong thing. God, forgive us of that. Thank you for forgiving us of that. And help us to strive on toward you again. And God, for those of us in here who have done things and seen things and said things and been places that we just wish we hadn't, God, I pray that you would forgive us of that and help us to stop feeling guilty. God, we don't want to say that your sacrifice on the cross for us was not sufficient for our sins. God, we don't want to say that your sacrifice wasn't good enough for us. God, it's hard for us to accept that you dying on the cross forgives us of even our sexual sins, God. That's a hard thing for us, but thank you that it is enough and that we can let it go and move on and not be bound by it. Thank you for the freedom that brings us. God, I pray for each of these high school students here, those who couldn't make it today. I just ask that you would be with them as they live life and as they encounter relationships with the people around them, God. Give them wisdom. Give them a loving heart. And God, may they be a light amongst their communities and their friends and their families. God, thanks again for just being so awesome, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.